The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. To an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one, a court appoint one for you. You understand your rights.
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made your sugar turn to shit.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes, or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're gonna get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And today, I'm going to be doing a story called Hurricane. Now, I'm not starting season six yet, y'all. This will be the last week before we start season six. The story's going to be a little bit different. But before I start, I want to say something. I found out late last night that Mr. Kearney Foster died. I guess from complications from COVID. Y'all have heard me talk about Mr. Kearney. He was my first chief. When I went to the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, a transfer there, I didn't know anybody. But the first thing I heard was, you know, about Mr. Kearney. And shit, 90% of the people were scared of him. But he was simply the biggest influence in my life, of any career I've had in my entire life. He'd forgotten more about murders and investigation and interrogation when I started my career than I'll ever know. And when I got to the sheriff's office, he had been there, I think, over 30 years already. He was the chief deputy. He ran everything on the day-to-day, everything from uniform patrol to SWAT, to civil, to the politics side. He was the man. That being said, he was tough, but he was fair. And you didn't want to get called on the carpet in front of Mr. Kearney, but if you did, you damn well better tell him the truth, and you expect to get your ass chewing. And he was hard, but, and I've been on the carpet many, many times in uniform patrol, as a detective, whatever. And every time I went on the carpet, I deserved it, and I learned my lesson. but he kind of took me under his wing. I wasn't from there. I didn't know anybody. But based off of work ethic, he's the reason I made detective in a year and a half. He's the reason that I became the first polygraphist. I mean, he fought for me because he liked the way that I worked. And he liked me. And I consider him to be my mentor. I love that man. And he's amazing. And I glean so much from him. You know, y'all heard me talk about in constant. The very first murder trial I ever watched, I watched him testify. And he kept pointing every time a defense attorney would ask him a question. He would answer it in a way that wasn't good for the defense and would point at the defendant and say, no, your client did such and such. And I picked that one up from him and I used it on David Constance and Double Clutch, my very first episode. But I remember I was testifying and the defense attorney kept trying to get into me and I kept turning around and saying, no, your client did. And I kept pointing at him and I'd look at the jury and I kept pointing at David Constance to the point where he got so upset. And then right in front of the jury, he told his attorney, said, make him quit pointing at me. Make him quit pointing at me. I almost started crying, right? That's one of a million tips that I picked up from Mr. Kearney. And now, I don't know what to say. I have a million stories that y'all've heard me talk about them before. You'll hear me talk about them again. And I'm going to tell you this. He retired from Livingston while I was still there, and then he would go to work for the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office, kind of in the same position to help them straighten things out a couple of years later, and just a wealth of knowledge. But the only thing he loved more than law and politics was his beautiful family and hunting. You know, and some of my prayers go out to his family. Y'all please pray for him. His wife is still battling it also. And she is such a sweetheart. No matter if I had to go to his house at 4 o'clock in the morning or call at 4 o'clock in the morning, she would answer the phone and I'd say, Miss Foster, is Woody Overton? Can I talk to Mr. Kearney? And she's, oh, sure, sweetie. And she'd, Kearney, wake up. Woody's on the phone, right? And just a great man, larger than life, and the best law enforcement professional I ever knew. And God rest your soul, Mr. Kearney. I love you, and thank you for everything that you did for me. So I'm gonna get started, y'all. Hurricane. Y'all stay tuned to end the show for some really important announcements. Hurricane. The reason I'm doing that this week is, as y'all know, we had this last hurricane that came through this weekend. I was in the woods at my place, and I decided I was going to stay here. My family was safe down in Maurepaw in the swamp. I decided I was going to stay here. I lost power about 7:30 Friday night, and the storm started coming through, and by, I don't know, 10:30, it was whipping pretty hard. And by 11:30, it sounded like cannon fire going off, all of the limbs and snapping and trees falling. By 1 o'clock, I decided I needed to leave, and I couldn't get out. I made it not even part. I'm like at the end of a 2 or 3 mile private road, and I didn't even make it a quarter of the way, and there were trees everywhere. So I was trapped in. So I started thinking about, and I didn't get power back until last night, to Monday night. I was thinking about all the named storms that for 20 years, y'all, I worked every hurricane that hit the state of Louisiana. So I have a ton of stories, but I just want to touch a highlight on a few of them for you. But let me start with this most recent storm. The West Feliciana Parish Sheriff's Office, which is the parish next to where I'm at, the rural parish, during the storm, one of their deputies, a sergeant, was responding to a call, and a tree fell in front of his unit on the road, and he had to swerve to miss a tree, and he hit another tree, and he got hurt, and he got it bad in the car. Well, guess what? He was able to call it in, but nobody else could get to him because of all the trees and stuff that were falling down. So it took them a bit to get to him. They get to him. They extract him from the vehicle. They get him to en route to the hospital, where the sheriff has showed up, and was on the scene, as any good leader would be, right? If one of your guys gets hurt. And the sheriff shows up and everybody's getting ready to leave. The sheriff's walking to his vehicle and another tree limb fell and hit him in the head. And so he's injured and he has to go to the hospital. So what you don't think about on these storms, you see them on the news and you see about people without power or whatever. What you don't think about is what the real life that goes on during a storm, and especially from the law enforcement officer standpoint. And you are literally putting your life on the line. One of the first ones I remember, I'm bad with names. I was working for the Livingston in Uniform Patrol, and it was a slow moving storm, meaning that it came in slow and it dumped a shit ton of rain and flooded everything in the high winds and finally, moved on. But during the storm itself, 911 call comes in with 103D, or disturbance in the back of Eastover, and I got back there and I had this pretty brand new car, but I get back there and it's flooded and I'm like, shit, I can't get to him, right? And then it was a naked female with a knife high on whatever, threatened to kill everybody in the neighborhood. Now Eastover, y'all, is a really, really bad, it's the white ghetto, it's one of the worst trailer parks in the parish, certainly on the west side of the parish. And I get there and I call my supervisor. I said, look, I said, Danny, I can't get through there. He said, you got to get through there. She's got a knife and she's going to kill somebody. You got to get through. So you know what I did? I backed up and I ran my unit through it and I swamped that bitch out to the point where it killed and I had water coming in the unit car and I had to climb out of the unit on the hood of the unit and I could see the residents and what I hear all the screaming and my spotlight was still on. I had it screaming and sure enough, there was a naked female running around with a knife. So I had to continue to go through the water and get over there. And she was higher than shit. And she's like, I'll kill you too. And I trusty freeze plus P. I sprayed her from about 10 feet away and was able to affect the rest. But this is all in the middle of a hurricane. This is when the winds are blowing probably at least 40 miles an hour still, and no power, and I could have drowned in the car, right? And then I have to arrest a naked lady with a knife, and it's just these things go on. It seems like hurricanes intensify people's stupidity. I don't know why. I know a large percentage of the population love to drink when we have hurricane parties in South Louisiana. I'm guilty of it myself. There's never been a storm since before I got in law enforcement or since I got out where I knew the storm was coming, where I didn't load up on beer, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. Especially when you know you're going to lose electricity, et cetera. You got nothing else to do. You might as well drink a cold one. Beer and ice, right? And hurricane snacks. But another one. Let me tell you, when you knew a storm was coming, the sheriff knew the storm was coming, or state police. Let's start with sheriff's office. Sheriff's office, you knew a storm was coming. You got an all page. Everybody got the page to fill up your units, whether you were a uniform patrol or a detective, or you worked in civil or whatever. You had to top off on gas, first of all, in case the electricity went out and you can't get gas, right? Secondly, you make sure you have your rain gear, and certain people were allotted to get chainsaws. I was one of them. One on this next storm, I'm gonna tell you about. You would catch calls until the storm got so bad the sheriff would tell the radio room, okay, get everybody off the road if it was a bad storm, right? I mean, yeah, 30 miles, 40 mile an hour winds, didn't matter. You were out there and you got trees falling on people's houses, you got people getting in wrecks, you got people calling 911 disturbances. I mean, people just go stupid. It's kind of like a full moon during the summer. But this one, I remember, we had got caught off the road. And so you'd work right up until that point. And I was somewhere near Springfield on the east side, and I parked on the side of a building, actually by the Springfield Police Department. And I remember it because they only have one red light in Springfield. And it got to blowing so bad, the red light was blown up, like not blown up, but like explosion blown up, but it was blown sideways for the longest time. And that whole red light looked like it was about to blow down the road. But when the wind's blowing so hard, anything that was on the street was flying by like tumbleweeds, et cetera. And then as soon as it started to calm down, I mean, the 911's calling out the calls that are stacking up, right? I mean, people that are trapped, boom, 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 and trees down on such and such. Well, your first job is, besides answering the distress calls, is to cut trees out of the roadway. Yes, sheriff's department cutting trees. The state highway department can't cut all the trees that would come down in a big storm. And so anyway, I remember when it started to calm down, they said, okay, y'all can start responding to calls. Well, Alden Thomasy, and this guy, he's now over all uniform patrol and everything for Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. I don't know what his rank is, but I got to see him at the, I was a keynote speaker or guest speaker for the Peace Officer of the Year Award about 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't seen him in years. But Alden Thomasy is, I suppose, still a walking encyclopedia of the law. He could tell you any Louisiana revised statute criminal code or traffic code off the top of his head and the definition. I like to think at the time that I was there that I became second only behind him, but there were still times I had to call him and say, hey, man, what the hell is the charge for this one, right? And he could tell you right off the top of his head. But the reason I'm telling you this, we were headed to some type of 911, people trapped, et cetera. We get one of these back roads. Guess what? Big-ass tree down. Well, both of us had chainsaws. We get out to cut the tree so we can respond to the 911. Now, it's raining, and it's dark, and, you know, you got your spotlights on the tree that's down, and we're getting there. Shit, it's dangerous. You run the chainsaws and the lightning, and, you know, the worst part, and that's what happened to me up here, though.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astapro? It's faster, bro. Oh. All right. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro
is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
Tonight during hurricanes is the tornadoes that are spun off. And that's where I think most of the damage comes from, especially on the smaller storms. But I remember getting out, Alden and I, attacking this tree. Chainsaws running, cutting it up. And we were almost back to back. And I heard him drop his chainsaw and start screaming and running. And I didn't know what it was. I thought, shit, he must have cut himself. And then I felt it. I felt pop, 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 pop on my side of my face and the back of my neck. Now I got this big yellow slicker on, right? But it's hot. Hurricane season, it always seems to be hotter than hell when the storms come through. And when I say I started getting stung, popped, it was hornets. Fucking tree had a hornet nest in it, and of course you couldn't see it because you're cutting with low light situation. Fucking hornets, and hornets, y'all, aren't like wasps. When hornets get on you, they won't leave you alone. They when they get pissed and they start attacking, they're on your ass until, you know, you're a mile away or you can get underwater or whatever. And shit, they tore my ass up. And then I had to drop my chainsaw and run. And, you know, I must have had 15 stings on me, and that some had gotten inside of my rain slicker. And, you know, just this is kind of shit that your law enforcement goes through beyond the arresting people and the saving people, the danger stuff that you do. And, yeah, you know, I'll never forget that, because I remember getting far enough away and stripping my shit off because they getting naked in the street and getting cigarette tobacco and wetting it and putting it on the sting bites. I don't know, man. You can never give enough credit to those people who are out there on the front line. They do it every day, right? And answer the calls, and it's dangerous. But shit, when a hurricane comes through, they're the ones, you know, so hats off to them. Just anyway, I don't know, but yeah, Alden, great guy. And it was good to get to see him, at the Peace Officer of the Year Award. Another story. Let me tell you some dum-dums, or a quick dum-dum story. It was after, might've been Katrina. The power was out. Now look, I have some bad stories about Katrina that I'm going to tell. I'm going to start telling. One of them is going to lead off on season 6, but this is a whole different ball game right here. I get called on a 62A, which is an alarm, at the store off of Highway 16 down south. It was the only store down there, actually, in between Walker South Road and Juban Road. Way down there in the middle. I mean, it's just a little country store. And I'm like, and I knew it had bars on the windows that had been broken into before, et cetera. So I get a call responding as a detective, on one of the detectives on call. I guess I was closest. I don't remember what the deal was, but get there. And this is after the storm had gone through. I think it was like two days or so after, still no power. And, you know, the roadways had been cleaned up, etc. I get to the store and I pull up, and it's a small country store, like two gas pumps in the front, wood siding or wood on the outside of the store. And when you're facing it, you have the door the double door. And right to that is a window, a small, not even a big window. You couldn't have climbed this fucker. And that door had bars on it, and the window had bars on it. And I'm looking at it, and it's daylight, y'all. It was like 6 o'clock in the evening or something. I'm looking at it, and the window is busted out. Right. Even though the power's off, the alarm still had the battery backups or whatever it was. I'm looking at the window and it's busted. And I'm like, why in the hell would somebody bust the window when it's got fucking bars on it? So I get up to looking closer, and I see blood everywhere. And I'm looking in, I'm peering in. I told dispatch that I was on the scene, and I saw the blood. I told him to get me a key holder to come out so I could work the scene, right? Even though nobody got in, I need someone to come shut the alarm off and what have you. Now, I'm looking at the window, there's blood. I'm looking at the bars, there's blood. I look down on the ground, and there's blood. There was nothing, no houses across the street from this place, but there's a small trailer park in the back of it. And we'd had calls in there over the years, and I was familiar with it. It doesn't take a genius sometimes, right? I told you prisons are full of dumb criminals. I look down on the ground and the blood. And guess what? It's a lot of blood. And I just follow the blood trail. And I follow it around the building. There's like 9 or 10 trailers in this little trailer park in the back. I follow it right down into the trailer park in between trailers. And I follow it right to the back corner of the trailer park, and there's a trailer, and this shit, I'm following a wounded deer blood trail. This is a lot of blood, and I'm not talking about drops. And I follow it, this shit, this blood up the steps, and blood going in the trailer, and so I knock on the door, and nobody answered. And I knock on the door, and I said, sheriff's office. Nobody answered. I said, look, you dumbasses, I know you're in there, I know one of you is bleeding. Come out and talk to me now, and I can get you some assistance. And I said, look, I'm not fucking going away. I get the SWAT team and surround the house. I know you broke into the store. Let me help you, et cetera. So finally, somebody opened the door, and it was three kids. And the first one opened the door, and I actually had my pistol by my side. And I went and I said, do y'all have any weapons? And he said, no, we don't. I said, where's the guy that's bleeding? He said, he's hiding in the back bedroom. I said, he doesn't have any guns. He said, no. I said, go outside and stand over there on the end of the trailer. Do not come back inside, or I said, I will shoot you. And I made sure he wasn't bleeding, right? So I just walked in. It's, kind of a gray area. You could call it hot pursuit if you wanted to, but also there's an amount of blood I could have justified going in to check on a person's safety. But shit, hey, blood went in the living room. He must have sat at the couch for a while, and there was blood, and there was blood going down the hallway. So I went out, kept calling out. I said, I'm coming down there. You better show me your hands when I come in. Don't have any firearms, et cetera. And they were like, no, we don't have any guns. And I opened the door. And one dude was sitting on the bed, and he's holding his hand above his head and a big old towel around it. And for shit, some bitch is soaked with blood. And I said, well, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to enduring any question. If you can't, 401 to court appoint one for you. I said, now you're going to tell me what happened? He said, I hurt my hand. I said, yeah, that's obvious, fucker. And just tell me what happened in the store. I'll get you some medical attention. And when I went in the door, y'all, when I first saw the blood in the living room, on the living room table was like some packs of rolling papers, lighters, and I mean new shit. Obviously stuff they had taken from the store. Actually, there was some of that on the ground outside the store also. And I said, just tell me what happened. I'm going to get you now. I'm not going to take you to jail today. You're wounded, et cetera. I said, I will make a warrant for your arrest. Or I said, I can be an asshole and take you to jail right now. He said, man, we wanted some cigarettes, man. We ran out of cigarettes. We've been out with power for 2 days. I said, okay.
And he said, well, I busted the glass on the store. And I said, well, what the fuck did you bust it with? He said, I busted it with a brick. And I said, and? He said, well, I reached in and I was pulling stuff out and I cut my my arm. And he pulled the towel off. And look, y'all, he had like an artery cut. I'm surprised the dude wasn't dead. And I said, no. I said, wrap it back up. And wrapped it up. And I called for an ambulance. Got his name, got all this information. I wasn't going to fuck with him. I had bigger fish to fry at the time anyway. Got his name, date of birth, office ID. The ambulance had to come get him, et cetera. And I let him take him to the hospital, and I ended up cutting a warrant for him a few days later. When I had time, you got to remember, this is after a storm, a major storm. I think that one was Katrina. Just goes to show you the stupidity of people, right? I mean, they didn't even get any cigarettes. He just stole and packs of rolling papers and lighters and anything that he could reach and then slices an artery. Another one. Oh, let me tell you what the number one thing is that's stolen during hurricanes. And I mean, if you've ever done this, you are a fucking asshole. Okay. And I'm just telling you that because I'm sure somebody out there listening has done this. If you've done this, you are a dick. The number one stolen item after a hurricane, especially a bad storm, is generators. Now, imagine this. You got your family. You know a storm's coming, right? So you go, when the storm hits the Gulf and they say it's even coming anywhere near Louisiana, you're not going to be able to find a loaf of bread, bottle of water, all the beer sells out, all the gas sells out, people that have been through it for long enough or that are going to ride it out are going to have a generator. I mean, I've got four freezers full of deer meat and hog and stuff like that. You don't want to lose everything that's in your freezer, but a decent generator will be powerful enough to run maybe your freezer and one air conditioner, and you put your family in that room. I mean, cause shit is hot and you can't sleep, the doors and shit open. Look, I was here this past weekend. Mosquitoes have tore my ass up, and the bugs and stuff. So you get your shit, you get you all your gas cans, and you go fill them up, and you get your generator ready. You test it, make sure it starts, and you pray for the best, right? You get all your groceries and your beer and your liquor, and you heard, one of the most famous drinks in New Orleans is called a hurricane, y'all. That's hurricanes associated with drinking also. But anyway, so let's say you have your family all prepared. You got your hurricane snacks and you are good to go. Storm comes, you lose power, hotter than fuck. And so you don't want to lose everything in your ice box. Crank up the old trusty generator. Line your gas cans up, you're good to go. Gets dark. About 2 o'clock in the morning, you're sleeping with your little portable window unit that you keep for hurricanes, right? So your family's nice and cool in the room. Everybody's safe. Waiting on the power company to turn the lights back on. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, and generators are loud too, y'all. I'm sure most of y'all have had experience with them, but generators are loud as fuck. And in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, everything goes quiet because some asshole has just stolen your generator. And it happens all night long. I guarantee you, from Hurricane Laura and this Hurricane Delta that just passed through, I guarantee you, people were out there stealing generators. And if you've done that, you're an asshole. And there's just, I mean, you're not going to get more than $300 or $400 for a generator hot on the street anyway. And you might have got away with some cans of gasoline, but you're an asshole because you didn't take the time to prepare, or you're a doper and you're going out there. And that family that's worked for that and is taking the guy that's taking care of the family or the girl. And in the middle of the night, they wake up and you stole their shit. And that's the largest theft thing or item that there is during storms. And it's really sad. And that it used to really just burn my ass when people did it. And then look, they don't just steal one. They ride around these neighborhoods and shit, you can hear them from a half mile away.
and then they'll go in on foot, and a couple of them grab the generator, a couple of them grab the gas cans, and they run out. Well, shit, by the time you realize you run outside, you can't see dick anyway. And, you know, it happens, right? One of the other bad things that happens is, then this is not as funny or what you want to call it, but one of the most common deaths from the storm or after the storm is carbon monoxide poisoning. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to say any names or any towns or whatever, but I've worked it before, y'all, and people just don't know when maybe first-time generator owners or whatever. You've got to set the generator where it's far enough away because the exhaust comes off of it. And I've worked it. I've been in a house where five people dead and from carbon monoxide poisoning because they didn't ventilate the generator properly. And what's bad about that, or I can't say it's bad, but what sticks out in my mind about those deaths is all the victims are cherry red, like red, red, red. The whole body, the skin is red. And I walk in and I see that, I already know. It's carbon monoxide poison. I don't know why the body turns red like that. But again, that's stuff you deal with from hurricanes, you know, and I've worked several of those cases, and they're just absolutely horrible that, you know, when whole families get killed or even anybody dies from it naturally. But I've worked where whole families have gotten killed because of generators and the exhaust. I don't know. But hats off to the first responders. Hats off to the people working it. Hats off to the people who worked the aftermath of it. Hurricanes are bad, and the people ask me, do I have PTSD about, you know, the bodies and the stuff that I've worked and everything, and I actually don't. I have PTSD or think anything that really bothers me except for the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and I'll get into that next week, and 9/11, but I'm going to tell you one more, and I'll end it.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
It was a really bad storm, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. We had been called to get off the road. I was the detective on call. I mean, it was a bad one. I pulled off on the side of the building. The reason I would do that is to get out of the way of the wind and flying objects. But at one point, the storm was so bad that my windows, I could feel the pressure build up in my car. My side windows started to move inwards. There was so much pressure and it was hurting my ears. I got down. I thought my windows were going to explode from the pressure of the storm. And they didn't. The 911 calls were stacking up and the trees falling, et cetera. And when it calmed down enough to that pressure had moved on and they turned us loose on the road, we had a call and it was pretty close to me. And I remember responding, and it was a trailer at the end of a dead end street, and it had a huge oak tree fell right dead ass in the middle of the trailer. And the neighbors said there is a guy in there and he's not coming out. I know he's in there. He'd been living there for like 20 years. This neighbor said, I'm telling you, he's in there. And we keep calling to him and he's not responding. So break out the chainsaws. The volunteer fire department responds. Other units respond. And we're trying to cut this tree away and it's massive. And it's right. And the trailer's like sliced in half. And we're cutting away and getting to him and, you know, hollering for him and pulling away these big limbs. And then the scene started to show it was the living room. There was a couch. All this is smashed down to the ground, living room and a couch. And we could see the guy. Well, actually, the back of the couch was broken down. Everything was pinned down, but we could see the guy in there, and he wasn't responding. So we kept cutting, and then they cut it away enough. I mean, this obviously he was 10-7. He was dead. I mean, it was almost like something out of a comic book. He was literally flattened like a pancake. The tree fell on him and killed him. I mean, shit went into his pocket when it got down to the body and he was just smushed and went in his pocket for his ID, you know, and to get date of birth and stuff like that. And never forget, he had a bag of weed in his pocket. And I was like, oh, man, you won't be getting in trouble for this, right? And so, but, you know, storms happen, shit happens, and you never should forget about the people that are out there that are really, I mean, they do it every day, the law enforcement does, but on those days, they leave their own families. And I did it for so many years, left my own family to go out and take care of other people's families. And hurricanes are just a beast. Even the small storms can make all the tornadoes and just a beast. So, yeah, I just wanted to give you a little something this week that I'm not starting season 6 until next week, but me being trapped in, and we're going to release something last week. Ended up releasing the Patreon episode, which I've replaced with the episode Passive Aggressive, which is pretty good when y'all Patreon members, I hope you enjoy it. And so I'm going to release this to you this week, just giving a couple thoughts in my head. And then I found out Mr. Kearney dying last night. And I just want to give a shout out to him and his family and prayers for his family. I love y'all. Let's talk about Real Life, Real Crime season 6. And we're stepping it up a notch. That's why we took basically the 2 weeks. We started it, and it's going to be some good ones. I'm going to be getting back to a lot of the more serious stories, the more heinous crimes in this season, if you will. So stay tuned and listen. Now, I want to tell y'all about this. YouTube. We have been working diligently since started Rapids Burning. We invested in video equipment, video editing equipment. And I've been doing some of these episodes when I had internet service. I would record the weekly episode live for Patreon members and put it up on the Patreon page so they can have the video to watch it early and all that. But Rapids Burning, my wife has been doing the producing on, and we have some great lifers. And I cannot think of your names because I'm horrible, but they've taken their time. It's what this guy does for a living. He and his wife are huge fans. They contacted us about making videos and adding them to the podcast and putting it on YouTube. So we've done it. Now, if you thought Rapids Burning was interesting before, you got to go listen to it or go watch it on YouTube because it's more like a movie. So as I'm talking, you'll get the things I'm talking about. There's images that'll be posted. There's some video clips, different things that are put in it. So for people like me, who I didn't even know what a podcast was a year and a half ago, I'm a more of a visual person, and or I used to be, than a storyteller. It's really, really interesting. So go to YouTube and search Real Life, Real Crime Podcast. Not just Real Life, Real Crime, but Real Life, Real Crime Podcast. Now, you'll see that almost all of our episodes, every episode I've ever done, is going to be on there automatically, the audio version. But starting with Rapids Burning, it is going to not only have audio, but you're going to have video, almost like a movie. Really, really well done. It's a learning curve. Still learning as we go. We had the best people in the world, and I'll get y'all's name straight next week. You know, I know who you are, and thank you for taking the time and walking, sending through the process and being such awesome lifers. And so not only will Rapids Burning be done, this episode Hurricanes should be up hopefully by this weekend. And then we're going to start with our top episodes, whether it's Dennis and Cynthia Perkins or Double Clutch or whatever. My wife's going to start working on adding video to each and every episode till she's called up or she is working on it. And so share it. Y'all go over to YouTube, subscribe. It's free. And I didn't know shit about YouTube either, but Real Life, Real Crime Podcast. YouTube, subscribe, and watch Rapids Burning, okay? It's important. Now, of course, we're going to do Who Killed Courtney Coco and, you know, all of them. All of them will be done eventually. So go over there. I think you'll get a lot out of it, especially if people ask you, you know, we get quote people saying all the time, well, what's a podcast or how do I listen to the podcast? Hell, just tell them to go to YouTube and subscribe to Real Life, Real Crime Podcast, and they can watch it and listen to it at the same time. Really, really interesting. Really excited about that, y'all. I mean, I kind of like it myself. I mean, I like it better than just sitting there listening to it. So y'all give me a follow on Instagram at Real Life Real Crime and at Overton Woody. Y'all do that. Take a screenshot of your follow. Send it in on one of our Facebook pages or email. I don't care how you send it in. And for every 50 new followers we get, I'm doing a drawing. Then you have a 1 in 50 chance of winning either my autograph book, copy of a book that I autograph for you, or a Real Life Real Crime face mask. And those are really nice. Or a Real Life Real Crime window decal. So, but you got to follow them both. Send it to us, and I'm going to start doing these catch-up. We're already been running this promotion. Most of y'all know that, and we're going to get the list together. I'm going to start doing the drawings, and I'm going to do those video drawings, and I'm going to put them on YouTube. Everything's going to start going to YouTube. But on Instagram, I try to post on there every day, but it's nothing you're going to find on Facebook, in the crew page or anywhere else. I post different shit, little funny things. And so just go check it out. Check out the Instagram, okay? In their crew page, yeah, I love y'all. We're at 26,500 or 600 people, something like that now. Y'all, thank you for inviting others to join. It's important. Courtney Coco, I hate to say deathversary, whatever you want to call it, murder anniversary or whatever, was last weekend. And it's shit, you know, 16 years, man. And the family had to live through it again. Y'all went to Alexandria the week before and was a guest speaker at the National Homicide Victims Memorial. And it, right, I stood on the Rapides Parish Courthouse, and I was unscripted and raw. But I recorded the whole ceremony. Guess what? It's going to be on YouTube. If you want to watch it, go watch it. If you don't cry after you see these families get up there and talk about their pain, then something must be wrong with you. But that's on YouTube, Real Life, Real Crime Podcast. Subscribe on YouTube and get to watch it for free. We're not giving up on Courtney Coco. But you know what? We're not going to wait that much longer either. And Miss Stephanie is fed up. And the first week of November would be a year since the DA said, give me 2 weeks. And we've been playing nice for these last 4 months because we've been promised certain things. Not going to keep waiting too much longer. When we do a call to action, when we've had enough, especially if it drags out past this election and they want to try to tank it or something, we're going to burn. And that's when the crew page and the lifers, I don't care if you're in Australia or Egypt or Rapides Parish or wherever, we're going to call. I have a plan. We can get everybody to do their part on making it heard nationally for Courtney Coco. And no, I'm not going to do it before then because I still want to believe that what they've been telling us is the truth. I want to believe they're going to give us the justice for Courtney Coco. But guess what? Courtney's mama's pissed, and she has a right to be. But we'll give them just a little bit longer. Miss Barbara Blunt, got a new tip in today. Please keep sharing. Share the episode. Share the story. Toby Tomplay and I are starting a cold case podcast, and it's in the works, but we're not going to do it until we have a whole first season ready to release. So there'll be no more real time like we did on Courtney's case, right? And start to do on Miss Barbara's case. And I'm still working it. Miss Barbara's case, so y'all are calling you tips and sharing equals tips. I'm not going to ask you to call any more tips on Courtney's case because we know who killed her. And we're just waiting on the arrest. But we're not going to wait much longer. So I'm sure I'm forgetting some of y'all. But anyway, I love and appreciate each and every one of you. And I really do, really, really do appreciate you. And all of the people who supported us, it's just amazing. And, you know, go places and life. I had two lifers come up to me yesterday. I introduced themselves at different points. And I had a mask on and everything. But to be recognized and people tell me, hey, you know what, you're doing a great job. We love your stories, whatever. It means a lot to me. And I do love my fans. And I will never stop answering every question that you have. I spend, you know, 8 hours a day or more on different social medias, et cetera. And I would never not take the time to answer you back. And if I'm just down to earth, if you see me, you want to approach me, please do. And you know, I'd love to take a picture with you or whatever. But if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't have a show. So I love you. And yes, patron members, I love the patron members. And yes, they support us financially, right? But if you can't be a patron member, that's totally, totally cool. I don't want you to think I love you any less. But, you know, just... And I ask that you keep sharing us and liking us and helping us grow. And if you get a chance, go to iTunes and leave me a review. I'd appreciate that. Follow me on Instagram. And remember, when you follow me on Instagram, record it somehow and go to one of our like 6 or 7 Facebook pages or email me, woody@reallifereallcrime.com, and send it to us. And for every 50 people that follow me at Real Life Real Crime or at Overton Woody, I'm going to do give you your choice. One person's going to win out of the 50, and then you get your choice of the whatever it is, swag that you want. So Lopa, you've heard me talk about it before. You'll hear me talk about it again. There's something special coming up in season 6, a Lopa episode that's going to, it'll just absolutely rip your heart out. Louisiana Oregon Procurement Agency, the wonderful people. Y'all give the gift of life. Sign up to be an organ donor. Go to lopa.org. Go, it takes like 2 minutes. So scroll to when they ask you where you heard about it, go to the Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center. Those students work so hard, and their teacher Kelly Jennings and Miss Kim Alvin, the principal, work so hard, y'all, to get people to sign up for LOPA. And that's where I was introduced to it at. So check that box for them, to give them credit for it. And if you want to, they've added, LOPA's added Real Life Real Crime, because I'm telling you, it's my personal mission to get people to sign up to be an organ donor. Give the gift of life. Give the gift of sight. It means something, y'all. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton, executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.